come join me May 1st through the 6th so that you can rest, rediscover your strengths, reconnect with yourself and those physicians like you who are ready to leave work at work, and re-energize. This is the invitation for you to make 2023 your year. Join me in Costa Rica in this really amazing, non-judgmental, intimate physician community. I am gonna show you how to rest and how to recharge. Let's transform your brain, level it up so that you can start to dream the life that you always wanted this year in 2023. I can't wait to learn all about what kind of year you're gonna have after this conference. Take care.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Beyond ADHD, a physician's perspective. I am Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine physician practicing in rural Texas. I used to be hindered by my ADHD, but I now see it as a gift that helps me show up as the person I was always meant to be, both in my work and in my personal life. In the past 2 years, I've come to realize that unlearning some of my beliefs and some of my habits were just as important as learning the new set of skills.
Well, hello, hello. I am so excited today. I have a dear friend of mine who has also actually been one of my coaches. And I have her here and I'm so excited that we are going to be talking about energy. We're going to be talking about how sometimes we get so drained and we wonder like why we are so tired. And this is my physician friend. This is Dr. Oksana Armova. And I might have mispronounced that, but I like to call her Dr. Oksana. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Dr. Oksana.
Well, thank you so much, Diana, for having me here. Such a treat. But anyway, so I was born near Mongolia and I grew up in Siberia and I went to medical school in Siberia. And since I was a child, I was very intuitive and I could see things that people could not perceive, right? And at the same time, I was very, very sensitive. I was sensitive to other people's emotions, other people's problems, what they were going through. And my mom was a physician and I used to make rounds with her, you know, in the hospital when I was 4 years old. So, and I always wanted to help people and I always wanted to heal people. So naturally I went to medical school. And even when I was in medical school, after my lectures, I will go to local clinic and I would put, I did hands-on healing, where I will put hands on people, and they were getting better. So their pain was going away. They were saying like, oh my God, what did you do, right? Finally, I'm feeling better. And I would go home and I would be just, you know, exhausted. I will be just go straight to bed. And I was not realizing back then that I was putting, you know, taking all the energy and absorbing all the emotions, all the pain, and I was taking it on. And then also many years ago in my training, I was doing rheumatology elective. And of course I was thinking, oh my God, it's going to be so easy. It's not a surgery rotation, right? I can get plenty of sleep. It's going to be like a, you know, almost like a vacation, you know, right? And so after a few days working in, and again, it was outpatient clinic in this rheumatology office, I started feeling depressed. I was getting all the aches and pains. My joints were hurting and I was young. And I said, what the heck? What's going on? And I was talking to my attending and she said, oh, it's okay. I feel like that all the time. And she said, why don't you start taking, just take small dose of antidepressant. You can just take half a pill of antidepressant. And I thought, oh my God, I'm in the beginning of my medical training. If I start taking antidepressant now, what I'm looking down the road, this is not the solution. And yeah. And throughout my journey, I've been on I tried a lot of different meditations and, I'm always been a seeker of truth and so forth. So, and it's made me realize how much as a physician we are taking on. And you, and I see you nodding, you're aware of that too. We're taking our patients' pain, we are taking our patients' suffering, we are trying to solve their problems. And so it's interesting when I start reflecting, and again, I've worked as a hospitalist for 20 years, almost 20 years. And I start reflecting, it's like, oh my God, why am I sometimes still feeling tired? And when I start counting how many patients I've seen throughout my, including med school, residency, and so forth, and ballpark was at least more than 30,000 patients. And then I also realized, okay, we as physicians, we deal with pain and suffering on a daily basis. Sometimes we deal with most challenging cases, right? And so I also start thinking, how many professions out there in the world who do something like that? It's really, right? So it gives you perspective where you realize, oh my God, it's not really something wrong with me. It's not underachiever or loser or not capable, but it makes you realize, oh my God, this is a lot what I'm dealing with. Does it make sense?
Yes. I think as physicians, we just assume that we're supposed to do everything for our patients and then some, right? Mm-hmm. And then we don't realize that sometimes, like, we have to be the most important patient in the room. If we don't take care of us, like, that could be very draining. But like you said, some of us, I'm going to make a general statement, but usually females tend to be more in tune with what the patient in the room is sharing. And sometimes we take our time with them, but like you said, we feel like it's our duty to like solve all their problems. Like mm-hmm. so many times, like I have been like getting onto GoodRx to find the cheapest like mm-hmm. medication at the cheapest store so that I could get to them. Like I'm pretty sure most physicians just write the prescription and walk out of the room. But I would put myself in their shoes. If I didn't have insurance, I would want somebody else to go the extra mile. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that it's good or bad. It's just that being aware that if you do that on top of whatever's already expected, like it can drain you even more and more and more because of the current system, the way it's set mm-hmm. up, is not meant to give you that flexibility to be able to do those kind of things.
Yes, and this is exactly what I was going to talk about too. Because again, most of us, we go to medical school because we want to help people. We want to heal people. And just like you said, we put our heart and soul in trying to help patients. And exactly what you said, it's not about just providing treatment. It's trying to find a placement, trying to find a nursing home, or somebody's homeless. You know, you try to find place for them, right? And so, and because people we are dealing with, they're in so much fear, they're in emotional pain, they're in physical pain. And because of that, us as a physicians, we see us as like we're trying to grab onto us, right? We're in survival. And so, and we're like, okay, this is a person who can help me.
Right.
And so, and I don't blame them because this is where they're at. And so it's almost like when somebody is drowning and you're trying to save them, if you're not careful enough, they will drown you, right? Because we're in panic, we're in anxiety, we're grabbing onto you. And so it's almost energetically, this is how it is in with patients and in our medical system. Because also medical system is set on principle where patients come to the physician and they go, oh, you are my doctor, fix me. And you probably heard it so many times. Right. And the system said that, okay, patients give all the responsibilities for their health and they put it on a doctor's shoulder. And so many of us, again, through our medical training, it's expected, we trained like that. But exactly what you said is you have to make yourself a priority. Even when you're on a plane, you know, if they go, okay, put oxygen mask first on yourself and then put it on your child, right? So at least, you know, airlines got it right. So hopefully our medical, you know, society and system get, you know, catch up with it.
Yeah.
And so, and what happened, as Einstein, you know, you can't argue with Albert Einstein, he said everything is energy. So our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, our vibrations of our bodies, it's all energy. And so all of us, we are like radio stations. We absorb everybody else's emotions, thoughts. So, and a lot of times people don't realize that some of the feelings they're having, it's not even their own. They're picking it up from a loved one or from their patients, from their clients. I work with a lot of coaches too. And so, you know, there is a lot of anxiety in the world right now. And people don't realize, oh, the reason I'm feeling anxious because I'm tuning in and picking it up from what's going on in the world.
Yeah. So how did you first start to realize that, okay, so you, like you said, you realize that all of this world is energy. We are energy. And most of us will always say we're depleted of energy. Mm-hmm. Most of us say, oh my God, I'm so drained, or I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired. Like, how did you, during all those years, like, how did you finally learn to like manage your energy or to be more mindful about it so that you wouldn't continue to allow yourself to be so depleted?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. And again, it's through many, many years of trying different meditation techniques and practicing different, tools and so forth. What I realized, this is a great story. 2 days ago, I was talking to a male physician and I was telling him, I'm going to be talking on a podcast about how to maintain your energy boundaries, and so you're not picking up patients' energies. And he's retired. And he said, why would any physician want to learn that? He said, physicians just build walls. And this is what works, right? He said, we just build walls, so we are not absorbing other, you know, patients' pain and emotions. Why would somebody want to learn something different? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And I was just, oh my God. So this person thought that this is actually the way to go about it. And I do notice, again, a lot of us doing that. So I would say I've noticed more male physicians maybe doing that compared to female physicians. But again, it doesn't work in a long term. So let's say if you're running a code and you have to tune out everything around you, let's say, yes, you are in that space for whatever, 30 minutes, 1 hour. But if you don't snap out of it and it keeps, you carry it on for many years, days after days, then it starts affecting your relationship with yourself. Right? It's because you're not processing it. So you still were building walls out of resistance, out of, again, trying to protect yourself. So, and then it starts affecting your own relationship with yourself. And that's why, you know, there is so much suicide in physicians, there is so much depression. It affects your relationship with your children, your loved ones. So it's not a solution. Does it make sense?
Yeah, like energy is meant to be, emotions are meant to be like a compass. Like, you know, to understand happiness, we have to understand pain because we need to understand one from the other, right? And yes, like you said, there's periods of time where it is beneficial to kind of turn ourselves off, like in the middle of a code, so that you become quote unquote objective in whatever you're doing mm-hmm. and you focus on that. But after the fact, if you don't reflect or even take 2 seconds to realize that you were dealing with life and death situation, that life is fragile, like mm-hmm. that if you don't look at like, what if that would have been me on the table, or what if it would have been my family member or my husband or whatever, right? Like if you don't reflect in the humanity of it, like mm-hmm. you could miss the opportunity of what you were in front of. And when we don't reflect on it, I mean, even though while you're going through it, it sucks. Mm-hmm. But if you don't reflect on like being grateful that you're still breathing, that you're still here, right? Then you miss the opportunity to process like what a beautiful gift you could have given to that person if you brought them back and now they had a chance of XYZ for many years to come, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you didn't bring them back, knowing that you did the best that you could in that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So I think in terms of that, I can see why it's a protective mechanism and I can see why it's helpful, but I can also see that if you do that one too many times without the reflection part of it, mm-hmm. you can get lost.
mm-hmm. Yes, and this is what I see in so many of my clients. They say, I feel disconnected, or I have a hard time forming connection with people, and most importantly, having true connection with yourself, so with your own emotions, right? And so,
And I think COVID, sorry to interrupt you, mm-hmm. I think COVID did a number for all of us. Like it forced us to realize that maybe before we had a community we could tap into and like you felt like, oh, they can help me. Mm-hmm. But then when everybody was functioning from a place of fear, from a place of like, oh my God, I'm going to bring XYZ to my nanny or to mm-hmm. blah, 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 to my elderly neighbor. I'm going to be the one getting them sick. They're going to die. Like you then kept away, right? We were no longer mm-hmm. in community. And all of a sudden you were even more drained because you didn't have that extra help that you needed. And therefore you even more depleted with your energy. And again, we were functioning from a place of survival. Like you were just trying to survive. And then, and for some people, like that's primary care physicians, but I know some like specialists that were told, like, we don't need you, go sit down. They were like in heaven because they're like, woo, I have to get 1/3 of my patients, right? So like, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, I think it was tiring and draining for physicians because while everybody had or were forced to take a stop and reflect, or not reflect, but at least take a stop. Like we were never given that freedom mm-hmm. to take a stop, or like unless you quit because you know you had some comorbidity yes. or you felt like you couldn't handle whatever, or whatever your point was. It's not that you couldn't handle, but you made a personal choice, right? Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I feel like in the last 3 years, there's been a big cultural, mental, physician mindship awakening,
mm-hmm.
realizing that maybe being drained, I wasn't drained when I was at home. Maybe this is not the norm. Maybe I shouldn't be drained all the time, right?
Because it's, again, we're so used to it through medical training. It's like it almost becomes a norm. And I still remember when I was a resident and I would be like, oh my God, I'm on call every 36 hours. And some older physicians would say, oh, why are you complaining? when I was in my medical training, when I was a physician, I was on call every single day.
Yeah.
So this was a standard. So
right.
This was, you know, expectation. And it's interesting, you know, what I see with some of my clients who have ADHD, and again, I work with ADHD clients, so I see it on a different, on a different level. So I coming from perspective, looking at energy, again, being intuitive, being a spiritual healer. And what I see in a lot of people who have ADHD, they have tremendous amount of creativity. They're super creative. A lot of them have a lot of energy. And so what's happening is, especially, you know, when we're kids, right? Our school system is trying to put everybody in a box. It's like a cookie cutter, right? system. And so a lot of those kids, they don't fit in because it's, you know, they have maybe more creativity that other kids have in the class. And so, and then they, you know, they get labeled, you're too much, or, you know, get quiet, or don't talk, right? And so, and another thing is, again, a lot of them I see, they're very, very capable. But because through their life, again, even since they were kids, they maybe were invalidated, they were criticized. So it's, you know, it starts affecting them in the long run. And sometimes I think about little Mozart, you know, when he was a child and everything, you know, and he was super creative. So I think if he was, you know, in present time and he was in school, he would be labeled ADHD, right? So because people would not know how to handle him and handle his creativity. So, and another thing I noticed, because ADHD people, a lot of them have a lot of creativity. So people around them, I mean, they recognize in some ways how capable the person is, and they go like, oh, why don't you do this? You have so much energy. Or why don't you do that? And then sometimes you're taking it on, and you end up with, you know, your plate is full. So, and you can't catch up with all those things on your plate. And then those people who gave you all those tasks start criticizing you. They're like, oh, you're bad at time management, or why you didn't finish that? So, and like you said, learning, like what you're learning is how to maintain boundaries, right? Or how to set boundaries, and which is so important.
Yeah, so it's coming to understand that, you know, there are certain executive functions, and some of them we are better at than others. Like, you know, maybe you're good at planning, maybe, mm-hmm. but maybe you're not so good at task initiation, right? So you can plan, but you're not going to ever start the task, or you have a lack of awareness of how long it's going to take you, you know, mm-hmm. a time, or you feel like, well, I have a month. And then before you know it, it's like, I have a week. Oh my God, you know? And so I think realizing that, why are we saying yes before looking at our calendar? Like, maybe we've been mm-hmm. conditioned to say yes, and we don't want to feel like we're disappointing somebody.
Yes.
So that boundary there might not seem like a big deal, but if you just kind of said, hey, let me look at my calendar and I'll get back to you, like, it's going to save you so much drama, because mm-hmm. then you're going to realize, oh, I was already overbooked, or you're going to realize you were not even in town that week and you said yes to something, right? And so I think we forget that part of these boundaries have to do with, again, the innate realization that we want to belong. And it's not that we're trying to people please, but we want them to like us. And of course, we want to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. But saying yes to everything, you're saying no somewhere to something. And it's likely something to yourself that involves you and your self-care and your self-rest. So those boundaries, when you implement them, they're really meant to be there to protect your energy and time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what you said. And another thing I want to add is, because again, I see people with ADHD, they have a lot of creativity, a lot of creative energy, is learning how to channel it. So because when you have so much, right, you could do this and you could do that, and you can do, you're so capable, you can do 10 other things. So choosing, again, what you were mentioning, prioritizing. So it's, oh, okay. Or even when I see a lot of people have a lot of gifts, again, creative energy, it's all our self-expression. And so one thing you choose as, for example, you can choose as your career. Another thing you choose as your hobby. So another thing you choose, you know, as your second hobby, or whatever it is. So then it's you channeling your creative energy, you streamlining it, right? So then it creates less that it's like, oh my God, you know, I don't know what I want to do. And then sometimes you, maybe people don't accomplish what they want to do. So, but again, I just want to validate those people who have ADHD who are listening to this podcast. I want to validate them that, again, some of their what problems they're experiencing is because they have a lot of creativity. They have much more creative energy than, you know, maybe people around them. And they have a lot of energy because creative energy is, it's energy. So it's just one type of energy.
And and something that came up, and I can't remember if it came up during one of our coaching sessions when you were coaching my group or when you were coaching, when I went to one of your workshops, was the fact that some strategies that are meant to protect us sometimes don't, because we don't give ourselves the time to implement them, like mm-hmm. the sleep, right? The exercise, like the low carb diet. Like sometimes we don't realize that those do play a role in there somewhere. And then we wonder, why can't I focus long enough, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that all those are affecting how we're showing up.
Absolutely. And so as we were talking again about how we're absorbing others, our patients' energies and so forth, it's, you know, first, the key is awareness, even recognizing that, validating yourself, going like, oh my God, I've seen in my life thousands and thousands of patients. How many people out there in the world even capable of doing what I'm doing? I heard so many times my friends would say, I don't know how you do it. I would never be able to do what you do. And so, and giving ourselves a break when, let's say, you're on your day off and you're beating yourself up because you're like, oh my God, laundry is piling up and I have no energy to get to this, you know, pile of laundry. So give yourself a break. Don't beat yourself up and realize, okay, I am going through a lot. What I am dealing with is a lot. And so then you instead of invalidating yourself, you start validating yourself. You start recognizing your power. You start recognizing your capabilities. And another thing what I teach people might be helpful is when you start feeling, for example, sad or depressed, or you're feeling anxious, you can ask yourself, wait a minute, what I'm experiencing right now, are those my feelings or I am picking it up from somebody else? Because majority of people on the planet, they are not aware that they're constantly picking up other people's emotions and thoughts, and including with thoughts. You know, if you're thinking something, you know, and your life is doing okay, and all of a sudden you start, you know, having some weird thoughts, you can ask yourself, okay, are those my thoughts or I'm picking it up from somebody else? So, yeah. And then you can ask, like, just such simple thing, you can ask your awareness and say, okay, my awareness, I want to be aware of my own feelings. Please, let's shift to my own feelings. So, and again, everything starts with awareness.
Yeah, yeah, everything does start with awareness, because mm-hmm. again, if we just assume that what I'm feeling or experiencing is because of something I did directly, mm-hmm. Like we might miss that, you know, we can control our thoughts and feelings sometimes when we're aware, but if we're not aware, we feel like we're giving away all our energy to other people, right? And we all have had those difficult patients sometimes where you just feel like exhausted and drained, like they wanted 20,000 things. Then you're like, oh my God. And they're like energy vampires. It's like, give me back my energy. Take back your monkey. Like, I don't want to keep your monkey, you know? But I think having tips and strategies to protect and refuel our energy would probably like be something that you guys can start to implement today. And it could be very well be something like being mindful before you walk in the room, like making sure mm-hmm. that, you know, you're fully present, and making sure that after so many patients, you're taking a break, or you're for 5 minutes of meditation, or just a water break, or just going outside, like something that is not like patient related. That, I mean, just throughout the day, sometimes we charge our phones because it's dying. Like, why exactly. wouldn't we recharge ourselves, right?
Yes, it's so important what you said. I love the analogy you said, we charge our phones. I was like, oh my God, this is such a great analogy. And also, you know, having this, like just exactly what you said, having a system in place where however it works for you. So either you have to have a, you know, breaks after you see 5 patients or whatever it is, or you have to, after work, at least walk in nature for 5 minutes. So, and also recognizing that we are all different, and recognizing what works for you or what works for somebody else might not work for you. So for somebody, seeing 25 patients a day, it's not a big deal. But maybe for you, seeing 15 patients a day, this is your limit, right? So after 15 patients, or 10 patients, whatever is the number. And so not invalidating yourself because somebody else achieving more or seeing more patients, right? Because we are all very, very different. And when I'm teaching physicians and coaches about how maintain your energy boundaries, a lot of times, because it's exactly almost like, you know, build, like this physician said, oh, we just built walls, what's the big deal? But it's coming out of resistance, coming out of fear. And so when people tell me like, oh, how do I protect my energy? And I teach them, it's not about protection, because again, when we think about protecting, we are coming out of, like, we have to wall something off. And so I'm saying, oh, you're just learning how to maintain it, how to maintain and replenish. So then you're not, again, you're not trying to build like a
wall
or fortress around you because you're afraid that
yeah. So when we're asked to multitask, we might be able to do one or two things. Then you exactly. throw like 5 things on there, then you can quickly see why our brains become overwhelmed or anxious or mad. Like we are like, you know, we don't want to be bothered. And so mm-hmm. I think those are the type of boundaries that you have to understand your own limits so that you don't get to the place where all of a sudden you look like you're just blowing off steam because mm-hmm. you weren't even aware that, oh, what steps did I miss 3 decisions ago instead of just saying, no, I can't do this, or no, let me do it this way, or let me ask a clarifying question. What is the priority here? Is the priority mm-hmm. seeing that patient right here in the clinic, or is it seeing the patient in the hospital, or is it writing this these orders that you just brought and you pulled me out of the room for? Like, what is the true priority here so that we can reach whatever needs to be reached at the end of the day mm-hmm. without feeling like you're the one who's depleted and then being labeled as, you know, misunderstood or not a team mm-hmm. player. And then we get ourselves into trouble.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, one of the tricks I do, and sometimes I teach also physicians, it's, you know, after you see a patient and you get out of the, you know, came out of the room and you're washing your hands, like while you're washing your hands, you can just imagine that any energy you picked up from the patient just drains down the sink, right? You're just washing it off, like you're cleansing it off from your energy field, all the pain, all the emotions, and just being, again, aware of it or being mindful about it. And then you just go, oh, I just want to feel my own energy. I want to be replenished with my own vitality, my own life force. So this is something what people can do. And again, our system is built on, I don't know about your training, but when I went through my training, it's almost like you're supposed to feel your patient's pain. And I heard, and you probably heard too from so many patients, I would try to cheer them up. And I would be, okay, you know, let's make you feel better. Let's, you know, get you home. And they would be like, oh, you don't know what I'm feeling. So you don't know what I'm going through. You're not feeling my pain. And it's almost like accusation. And so, and sometimes again, this is how we trained, or we have to do that. But it doesn't help our patient. It doesn't help us. And this is what, again, what I teach physicians, it's how do you, what's the difference between being in sympathy to somebody, being in sympathy to your patient versus being in a state of compassion, which is very, very different. So, yes, yeah. This would be another great reminder.
Yeah, those are amazing tools and tips there. Okay, so if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you? Do you have an email to share, or should they just reach to me, or how should we, where can they, you have a website you can share with us?
Yes, they can find me on my website, and it's divinewellnessmd.com. I'm also on Instagram, the same name, divinewellnessmd.com. They can email me. And my email is Oksana@divinewellnessmd.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So yes, would love to connect. And I love your podcast, and I love how you're helping physicians with ADHD. And yes, you're a trailblazer.
Thank you. Now, if my physicians just started paying attention, because we have wandering attention, what is one takeaway point you want them to have?
Well, is again, to recognize how capable they are, to recognize that part of the label, the society labels them as ADHD, is because they have a lot of creative energy. They have a lot of energy. And learning how to channel it in the right direction and use it to their advantage, instead, it rather becomes like a distraction, right? So this would be takeaway besides what we already talked about.
Awesome. And, so what do you hope to do for fun in the next 3 years?
Oh, well, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy teaching physicians and coaches and doing my one-on-one coaching. So, and yes. Building the practice, serving people, and it's my passion again.
Any travel plans?
Oh, always. I love to travel. So, and I love to travel to foreign countries. So I love learning about different cultures and meet people from different parts of the world.
Awesome.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and for your amazing advice. And there you have it. You guys have to start implementing some of those energy boundaries. It could be as simple as remembering to allow all the energy that is not yours to be back to its source, and you keep yours, and being willing to ask yourself, what is draining me? What can I let go of? And what is refueling me? What can I do more of? Because the things that are fueling you probably have really good dopamine for you, and you should do more of those so that you can show up better in the world.
Thank you for spending your time with me. I really believe that time is your most valuable asset. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your colleagues, and don't forget to check out my website at ADHD-lifecoach.com, where you can find out about my upcoming coaching group classes, as well as free master classes and other exciting events that are happening.